I am humbled this morning to be here with the leaders of this church, Pastor Bob and Jerry, Larry, many others, and the elders. Thank you for giving the privilege. Bob, this church cannot fire you. If they fire you as a senior pastor, you will find a job as the worship pastor. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Listen, thank you, church. That's amazing worship. And listen, whether we sing or preach, we all serving the Lord together. It is an amazing worship service. Thank God for that. An elderly gentleman had serious hearing problems for a number of years. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was able to have him fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed the gentleman to hear 100%. The elderly gentleman went back in a month to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again." The gentleman replied, "Oh, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and listen to the conversations. I have changed my will 3 times. I don't know that to help you to raise $15,000. So many good friends. Pastor Jerry, thank you for the love and the trust. And my friend Doug Stewart here. One of the board members of Remy. Tim is here. Some other friends may be here today. They came to see me. I'm humbled by the love of Christians in this country. America is a great nation. I traveled to many parts of the world, never seen a nation like America. I shared that in the Sunday school. This is a land of opportunities. This is a land where you can come, work hard, become world leader. God, America has done that for many, many people. What a privilege for me to be here. Thank you, Bob, for giving the time. And ladies and gentlemen, and I want to tell you, I trust that this day will be a remarkable day in your life. And I hope that you will be here this Labor Weekend. This weekend you are here. Not to see a person or just to be in the church because you are Christian. But rather today to meet with the Lord. Examine your life, to turn your life to Him and for the lost world. Dedicate your life for the lost world. I trust that that will happen today. And I also should tell you, from my accent you can understand, I come from South India. I have a southern accent like some of y'all. And so kindly, patiently listen carefully so that you will not miss. And I often tell, at least you will get 70% of the message, you got the message. Would you stand with me to read God's holy word, please? This is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. One of my favorite passages. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, reading 27 through 42. Because of the limitation of the time, I'm going to read only a few verses here and there. But listen carefully. Verse 27, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Verse 32, 'But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about.' Then his disciples said to each other, 'Could someone have brought him food?' Verse 34, 'My food,' said Jesus, 'is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.' Moving to verse 39, Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Father, thank you for your holy word. May you be glorified through the preaching of your word. May your people be strengthened and built up and challenged this morning. Anoint your servant in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be seated. Your pastor was so gracious to me, he gave me 2 hours to preach. And 30 minutes, you know, Indians get to warm up. So please bear with me for the 2 hours. Listen, this is the proposition because of the limitation of the time. If we say that we know God through Christ Jesus and following Christ daily, coming to church, then we should have boldness, passion, an urgency to reach out to the people cross-culturally in our communities, in Roswell, Troy, all these areas, and around the world, especially the unreached. Let me repeat. If we say, "I know Christ, I'm baptized, I'm a regular attendant of the church," then we must have boldness to stand for Christ and talk about Him. And there must be a passion, intensity in our life to talk about Him, and there must be an urgency to talk about Him if He is truly the Savior of the world. Therefore, I suggest this morning 3 internal changes. These 3 internal changes must take place in our lives to really to make a difference in our communities and around the world. The 3 internal changes I suggest. A boldness that comes from God alone. And second, passion. We'll talk about it. And then urgency. Let's look at one by one as we read this text. I'm not going to explain so much background of this chapter, you know very well. Verse 27 we read, "Then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him." They were surprised to find him. Number one, talking with a woman. And it was not in that culture the Jewish people will talk to a Samaritan. They are untouchable. Coming from the land of India, I can understand this untouchability. They are looked down for various reasons. But Jesus, to prove the world that He came to die for the whole world, He had to go to Samaria. He had to go through Samaria to go to Galilee. On the way to Galilee, He stopped in Samaria, met this woman. He talked to her so much time. When the disciples returned, they saw He was talking with this woman. But no one asked, because the master, respect to the master, "What do you want? Or why are you talking with her?" Now, verse 28, please listen carefully. Then leaving the water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, what did you say? "Come everybody, see a man who told me everything I ever did." Could this be Christ? Here I want to listen carefully. How much time this woman took? Since she heard about Christ, since she met Christ, to go back her community to talk about her, the man who changed her life, the man who shared the truth. She didn't have the time to go for evangelism explosion class.
She had no time to go to a seminary. She met to the Lord. She met to the Lord and she was transformed. We don't know her background well. Many husbands, the man she is now with, not really her husband. Very difficult lifestyle. We really spend time to figure out and to visualize this. Very difficult life. Hopelessness. She never confronted the village people, never come to the city gate during the day. Knowing the village setting still in India, we have 600,000 villages. With that background, I think of this village. She was afraid, she was shy to come to the village. Never confronted with the village chief. But after meeting Christ, she did not care about the primary mission for which she came. The primary mission was to draw water, go back to the home and cook a good food for her man. But she left that jar and went back. You rushed to the town and looked at people and said, people come. See the man who told me everything that I ever did it. Is that boldness? Is that boldness? Listen, if we have an encounter with God, we cannot be quiet for the Lord. We will talk about it in spite of what the people will talk about it. In spite of what the community will say about her. She was so hurried to go and tell the transformation in her life. Do you have boldness? Do you have boldness to talk about the Savior? There is no one like Him. Look at that cross, the rugged cross. There is no one in this world died on behalf of you. When you were in your sin, He died on behalf of you. Return to me, I will return to you, God says. I come from the land of India. 40 million gods and goddesses. 1.2 billion people. Christianity 2.6. That's a government number. Maybe it's 5%. But you can imagine 95% of that 1.2 billion. 35,000 people die every day without hearing the message of Christ. Staying with that first point, that boldness, I salute America. America gave me opportunities to reach the people of India. But I want to tell you, today America is a mission field. Sometimes you are hurried to go to Russia and go to India. It must be done. The Great Commission must be fulfilled. But America, day by day, as an Indian observer, spiritually going down and down, it breaks my heart. You have Muslims in this community, Hinduism, Buddhism. I see so many Americans and Europeans in India. I ask, what are you doing here? They say, we came to see our guru. Many are cold and tired in their grandparents' faith or daddy's faith. Friend, are you tired in your faith? Are you cold in your faith? This morning I ask God to warm your heart. Give an excitement in the Lord. I will share my story very quickly. How I was beaten up, kicked out of the home for the faith. Listen, boldness comes from the Lord. Boldness won't come by just reading many books. America, Christianity is a big business enterprise. People are forced to read so many books, but many won't read the book. How many of us have got up this morning? Husband and wife and children gathered around the throne, read the Bible and sang song together, 1 hour church. We cannot do much here. This is a celebration of God's people coming from various homes with their joy and hurt and pain. They come together, we worship that celebration. But the homework must be done at home. America, see, the more I travel, I see People becoming illiterate and illiterate in this God's word. Boldness won't come by reading just simply the book of C.S. Lewis. You must read C.S. Lewis. You must quote it. Many people know the verses of C.S. Lewis. Unfortunately, not know. John 3:16. I challenge you in your home, have a passion for God's word. Not only to talk about it, an intentional, serious commitment to have that focus. Never go to bed without reading God's word. Never get up and leave home holding your wife's hand and praying together. That family must stay together. Money won't solve our problem. The big cars won't solve our problem. These are all important. I'm not against it. But the primary focus should be always Christ. The book of Acts chapter 4, I think you read. Somebody could just look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. 4:13. There is a very interesting phrase. I want you to look at it. Acts chapter. India, you know, we ask people to read it so that they won't sleep in the worship service. Also, they are 40% are illiterate. And so we ask them to read many, many times. Verse 13. Look at verse 13. When they saw... What is the next word? I cannot see. The courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been. Oh, these men, unschooled, ordinary men, had been with Jesus. If you are with Jesus, you will have boldness. If you are really cold and afraid and scared of talking about the Lord, there is a problem. You are not walking closely with Him. I challenge you to examine our life. We come to church not just to hear and go, repent of our hearts, ask for forgiveness, recommit our lives, and move forward. So the first, boldness. Then coming back to that text, we see the next term. They came out of the town and made their way toward him. That's very interesting. She maybe never expected that the people responded. But they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Verse 31, meanwhile his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. They were so kind to him because so many hours he talked to this woman. He was hungry. But listen, verse 32. He said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Now, Jesus, why are you saying this to your disciples who are caring about you, concerned about your food? In this particular moment, you understand, reading that paragraph, Jesus trying to teach these disciples some principles of discipleship. Purpose of his arrival, purpose of his coming to this world. He said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about, John and Peter. Oh, then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Verse 34, Jesus giving the answer, what is my food? My food, my nourishment, my meat. Some translation says, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Jesus said, my food, my nourishment is to do the will of him who sent me to the world and finish it. And that is my food, my nourishment. Beloved, what is our food? You are God's ambassadors. You are God's representative. As long as you live on this earth, you are His ambassador. You are His representative. You are His legs. You are His hands. You are, through you, the world see Christ. Not just putting Bible outside, distributing tracts. These are essential. But the world see you. You are Christ's letter. You are Christ's newspaper. People read Christ through you. What is your food? Is your house, the job, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend? Listen, do not allow anything in this world to take your priority. Do not allow. Unfortunately, Satan is working hard in this country. People are blind. Materialism, one way destroy it. Materialism is a blessing. People like us coming from India, we can understand it's a blessing. On the other side, Satan is blinding people to take away from the faith. No time for God, no time for family prayer, no time. Happy with the Sunday morning church. Beloved, what is your food? Is to know God's will, and at any rate to do that well before you remove from this world. Life is very short. We are passing by 60, 70 years. And Moses says in Psalm 90, that is full of distress, so much pain. But we are passing by until you leave this world. Are you committed to do God's will? To do God's will by giving your life, giving your time, resources, money. If you don't have the money, so many other things you can give faithfully. And I want to tell you today, by my presence, I want to encourage every heart, every young person, every young woman, children, all God's people. Listen, mission, everybody must get involved. Mission. Mission is not an option. Mission is not an option. Listen, this, the worldwide mission of the Christian church is not an option, but an obligation. We engage in mission not because we would like to, but because we have to. It's a matter of obedience. The Christian is a person under orders. He is not his own. He has bought with a price. Body, mind and soul, he belongs to Christ. He is a soldier of Christ. As such, his one duty is to obey his commander-in-chief. To do otherwise is to be guilty of high treason. I know it's a tough statement. To do otherwise is to be guilty of high treason. Are you involved in mission? When I say mission, not only for overseas mission. Mission, reaching people cross-culturally. Whether it is here in Michigan or around the world. We have so many people in our communities. I was sitting down and thinking, listen, this is a predominantly white church. Where is the Afro-American? Where is the Muslims from Pakistan and all the Middle East? So many thousand, 5 million Indians in North America. Where is the Indians? Hispanic people. If they won't come to your church, you need to find a vehicle to connect with them. Appoint a Hispanic pastor. Let him plant a church. An Indian pastor. Let him plant a church. And we must reach out to people. And if you can help in that process because you work with them. All church can help in that mission because you are in this community. You don't want to go to see Indians. Indians are in your midst. In your subdivision. Next door. I was telling this morning a story in our Sunday school. Bhakta Singh, a great man from Punjab, from the state of Punjab, from Sikh background, came to the Lord. He raised a great Christian movement in India. He's no longer in India. God took him to glory. But listen, how did this man, Bhakta Singh, come to Christ? As an international student in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Singh had nowhere to go during Christmas break. While working out at a local YMCA, he met an old man. Struck by the peaceful face of the man, Singh commented on it. The elderly man, a Christian, asked Singh to spend a Christmas with him and his wife. Singh did and became a believer. It was a simple obedience of one Canadian follower of Christ to two simple words of admonition by Paul: practice hospitality. Just an example. There are many, many ways, if you are intentional and passionate, to reach out to people from other backgrounds. And I challenge you to consider. So my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. So I tie that under the change, internal change of passion. Not only we must have boldness, we must have a passion. You are Christ's letter, your ambassador. And listen, if you don't have that passion, you don't find time to talk about Christ. You know, passion, Os Guinness, in his book, The Call, he says, you will not get passion unless you have the purpose. The purpose comes you responding to the call of God. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the call. Come to me, those who are weary and burdened. That's a call to salvation. Then you take his yoke upon you. Then you learn, then you walk after him. That's discipleship. When you come to him, and then you walk with him, you will find the destiny of your life, the purpose of your life. Through that you will make a significance. We all live for significance. Ladies and gentlemen, my beloved, if you don't have a purpose in your life, you are confused today. You don't know why you are living like I lived one time. I tell you, you will find your purpose in Jesus Christ, in no one else. I will tell you my story. I didn't have purpose. Hopeless reigned in my life. Grew up in South India, 8 children in the family. I'm the first of 8 children. My father was violent alcoholic. My poor mother became mental patient. She attempted suicide. My sister was demon possessed for many, many years. I thought there's no purpose to live like this. Kill myself. I was 20 years old in 1980. Two poor missionaries. They had only $5 just to pay the rent for their room they lived in. One room they lived in, $5 they got it. But no money for food. Live by faith. Many days they didn't have any meal. They would come to my college dormitory. They would love me. Nobody loved me. Everybody looked my family down because of my dad. Nobody wanted to come to our house because daddy was tough. People afraid of him. But these two missionaries were after me. They came to my dormitory one day, 6 o'clock, 6 p.m., shared Christ. They prayed for me. They loved me. I said, please don't brainwash me. Don't come and bother me. Because I was preparing for my final year business degree. But they would come second day. Please don't bother me. Don't brainwash me. They didn't care about it. Third day they came. Fourth day they came. Same time. Fifth day they came. Sixth day when they came, I couldn't resist their love, the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I knelt down. I cried. I said, would you pray for me? I remember in that small room, I prayed and gave my life to Jesus Christ. My father found out this. He couldn't believe his firstborn son was snatched by some missionaries. Dad was tough. He came to my dormitory holding a knife. Dad was shivering with anger. He dragged me all the way to my house. I was brutally beaten up. 20 years old young man. My whole body was covered with blood. I was beaten up back and forth. My poor mother would cry, kill me instead of killing my son. My siblings were crying. Dad was so mad. But about the worst thing happened. He looked at my face around 4:30 p.m. My hands were bound, tied up. Look, you are no longer my son. You destroyed this home. You have no right. I said to my dad, I never confronted. But this time I looked to dad's face. I said, Daddy, you kill me. But I am not going to forsake the faith which I put in Jesus Christ. He didn't like it. He pushed me out of the home. I took a small briefcase. I looked to my weeping mother and my siblings. I walked out of the home. Remember this. As I was leaving that day 26 years ago, the voice of God that I heard, Your father or mother may leave you or forsake you, but I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a Father in heaven who cares about us. He cannot renounce us. He cannot reject us because He formed in our mother's womb. Do you feel rejection this morning, beloved? Listen, come to Him, return to Him. He will embrace you. He is waiting for you. My journey was not easy. Some of my friends know very well. No money. I finished my degree, went to the capital of my state for the master's in business. No money, no enough, not enough clothes, not enough food. But I was determined. I lived in a small room, at a small kerosene stove. I will cook my food, lived in that small room. Night, I wet that room with my tears. I said, God, I will not be happy, fully happy, until you bring all my siblings and my parents to this faith. I don't have time to explain. It took 8 years. 1980, I came to the Lord. By 1988, all my siblings came to the Lord. God healed my home. My father, 1988, April, my dad surrendered his life. We baptized him. Today, he's a happy man in my community. Listen, not only God saved us from darkness to light, all my siblings, they left their jobs, secular jobs. Ask these people, they are all missionaries serving in various parts of India. What a privilege to surrender our one life to God. Many people surrender our life to Ford Company and Bill Gates. What a privilege to release our life and surrender everything to the one who created. He can feed us. He can take care of us. He's the Lord. He's the biggest employer in the world. Isn't it, Pastor Bob? I taught business many, many years in India. Then I came to New York. My wife grew up in Queens. I came with an American dream to make money like anybody. Bring all my siblings. Then one day go for the ministry. I want to tell you, I was working in a real estate company in New York, 1988. End of 88. I arrived 88 April. 6 months only I lived. My God was so gracious to me. One verse in the Bible transformed me. 1 John chapter 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2. Young people, please read it and meditate upon it. 1 John chapter 15 through 17. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in Him. Continuously, then verse 17 it says, the world and its lust thereof will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever and ever. Everything in the world will pass away. It is piercing into my heart. Everything in the world will pass away, but the man who does the will of God. I had my own agenda. This is what I want to do, but I was not in the perfect will of God. Therefore, distress and discouragement. Finally surrendered, Lord, here I am. And that is the reason I went to seminary and started the ministry. I can tell you, these people know it. When God called me, I never thought about when I went to seminary, I will go back to India. I want to teach. I mean, I taught many, many years. I thought I will teach in America. But listen, when I was studying at Trinity, Chicago, I asked God, why am I here? What shall I do? God gave an increasing burden for India. And when God called me, I worked in a store, Kohl's store, after my studies, 92. Few months, worked in a store, Kohl's, got some money to buy a ticket, went back to India, didn't know where I'm going to end up, what to do. I traveled 6 months, Kerala to Kashmir, to see the land of India. I was looking India, honestly, through the eyes of Christ. I saw the poverty and the spiritual darkness. I said, God, I'm available. I don't know what to do. I'm available. Will you use me? That was my cry. That's why I started Remi. And that's what God has. I never waited for anybody to give me money to go. And just like Abraham, I just responded. Life was easy? Not at all. I didn't know where I will sleep. But I didn't care about my dad. He kicked me out of the home. I knew that same God would take care of me. He prepared me before to do this. So my friend, beloved, not only the boldness, passion. Examine your life, what God has done. Do you have a personal experience with this living God? If you have, you must have a passion to talk about. You will not be shy. Let me move very quickly as I wrap up here. The third, not only the boldness and passion, verse 35. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? Are you saying 4 more months, then the harvest? That is the farming principle. You sow it, wait for some time for harvest. Are you saying, wait for 4 more months, then the harvest? He's rebuking to the disciples. He said, I tell you, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Their eyes were open. Jesus, why are you saying open your eyes? Open your spiritual eyes. Open your eyes and look at the fields. When you travel around in your cars and you see people here, how do you perceive it? People all over. There's a pain in your heart. Listen, Romans chapter 9. Please look at very quickly. I will close it. Pastor, I will stop it. Romans chapter 9, 2 and 3. A powerful passage. Romans chapter. Pastor Bob, could you read it? You are not sleepy, but...
I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race.
He should not be disappointed that he didn't get time to preach it today. So, listen, Paul says, I have unceasing anguish. Unceasing anguish and great pain in my heart. For what? For my brethren. For my brethren. I am willing to be cursed or cut off for the sake of my brethren, Paul says. Do you have that kind of anguish and pain in our heart, young people? Your pastor do not have the freedom to come to your school, to hang around with your friends. But you have the freedom. You have the opportunity. That brother, that sister must hear Christ. Then let God take care of it. But you have a responsibility. You cannot wait for graduation, go to Bible college and talk about Christ. He said, open your eyes and see the field is ripe. I can tell you, I will tell you the field is ripe. Our graduate, 2 years ago, one graduate, a skinny, short young man, single guy, went to a Hindu community in the state of Chhattisgarh. Today he has 500 people in his church. I mean, this one story. So many stories we can tell. Even though you hear about the persecution in India, churches exploding everywhere. Young people, local people, going to the villages, village after village, coming to the Lord. Jesus said, open your eyes and see the field. Because they were coming. When the woman called them, come, they came towards him. That's what Jesus said, open your eyes and see the field is ready for harvest. Do you see it? Or, brethren, because of the so many problems, mission stories, financial problem, 9% unemployment problem in Michigan, are you tired for world mission? Are you tired? It's not an option, it's an obligation. But how to arrange all that, you and your family and your God? But we must, every person must get involved in world mission. If you truly believe Christ is the Savior of the world. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal lives, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Now the conclusion of this verse 39. What happened because of this woman? A sinful woman transformed by God. Now listen, many of the Samaritans untouchable, hopeless people found hope. They believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. What happened? Because now Christ staying there, and because of his words, many, many more became believers. My friends, you be a vessel, simple vessel in God's hand. Entrust your life. Christ will continue that work. What was the primary mission of this woman? Carry water, go home. But that became secondary. I don't know whether she did it. The Bible won't say. Her primary mission became to call her people to the Lord, to the Savior of the world. And the writer of the Gospel, John, concludes, they said to the woman, everybody is very happy. The people were happy. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know. What do we know? That this man, this Jesus, really is the Savior of the world. Beloved, if Samaritan woman, if God used her to proclaim about Jesus in her community, how much more He must do through you and me in Roswell, all over Detroit, around the world. I will close with this real story. Once in 12 years, Kumbh Mela festival takes place near the river Ganges. 40, 50 million Hindus come to take a dip into the dirty water. They come to clean their sins. It takes place many places, but the big one is near Ganges in Allahabad. Let me back up. There are so many people, 40 million people near the river banks. But missionaries cannot go inside. Missionary can stay outside, distribute tracts. But while one missionary was distributing tract, he saw a young woman crying, weeping, beating her chest, crying loudly. She walked towards him. He asked him, what's the problem, woman? Why are you crying? She said, I had only one son. I gave to the river Ganges, to the goddesses, for the forgiveness of my sin. My sin too much. My guilt too much. Still, infanticide taking place in India, various parts of India. Sadi, wife gems on the husband's funeral pyre. Takes place. Then this missionary explained to this woman the simple gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross. By His blood, all our sins are washed away. There was no need to kill your child for the forgiveness of your sin. You know, I shared the story many, many places. But the question she asked, that like a knife pierces into our hearts. She said, then why didn't you come 30 minutes earlier? Why didn't you come 30 minutes earlier? Beloved, we must have boldness if Jesus Christ is our Lord, is our Savior today. We must have boldness. We must have passion. Passion comes by walking closely with Him, knowing Him, talking to Him. He is talking to you. And then you will not wait it. Who knows your tomorrow, the next hour, today. 2 things I'm going to ask as I wrap up. Do you know the Lord personally? I found my meaning and purpose in Christ alone. Would you close your eyes? Would you close your eyes for a second, my brother? This Labor Weekend, would you make this a remarkable day in your life? Do you have purpose in your life? Do you have peace in your life? Do you have joy? There is an urgency for you to come to Him. You will find your meaning. You will find your purpose in Christ. His calling, come to me. Anyone in this room want to follow Christ? Anyone want to give your life to Christ? Can I see your right hand? Because the heavens see it. Thank you, sister. Thank you. I see many. Thank you for responding to God. Please renew your spirit. Walk closely with our Lord. The rest of your days, I beg you, walk with Him. Don't go along with the flow. Be radical against the flow. May you be a story to tell the world by your obedience, by your sacrifice, by your conviction and commitment, beloved. And secondly, I ask you, would you take a commitment that you will not wait to talk about Christ? You will be intentional and passionate, hurried to share about Christ. You don't need much to study about. Share your joy in the Lord. Tell what God has done. Don't need to really articulate. Just to share. If you have the ability, you do that. But share simply what God has done in your life. Would you do that, my beloved? May this day be a remarkable day. Look at the people around you. If they do not know the Lord, they will go to hell. We are responsible. Our Father, thank you for this church, Cornerstone. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you, Lord, for their love for you and love for world mission. Thank you for what you have done over the years. Continue to take this as an instrument in your hand, Lord, and use in Michigan, around the world, as they obey you. You protect every member of the family. Bless, Lord, it is during this time of financial difficulty, I pray, pour into them all the finance they need it. You have done for me in my difficult times. Lord, I ask you to do this. In Jesus' precious name, Amen. God's people, thank you for the time. God bless you. That's Bob.
I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I was struck by the fact, as Saji was taking us through John chapter 4, that if we would go into that village in Samaria and would, with the intended purpose of establishing a witness for the gospel, that particular lady would probably be the last person that we would ever pick as being a one to start the witness for the gospel. Humanly speaking, she had so much going against her. And yet that was the one that Jesus said to his disciples, I've got to go there. You know what that means, don't you? We have no excuse. By God's grace, what's in your hand? Why are you here? And for so many of you, your earthly success has become the obstacle for your heavenly purpose. We ask God to give you the eyes to see again. If you have professed faith in Christ today, welcome to the family. We have some people at the conclusion of the service who will be here, would love to speak with you, or you can speak to any of our elders, some of whom will be at the doors, and I'll be out in the gathering space as well. We'd love to talk to you.